A couple went to the mall to do some Christmas shopping, and it was very crowded. They found some things they wanted to buy at one store in the mall, and there was a very long line. So the husband said to the wife, "If you don't mind, would you wait in line to buy our things? And I'm going to go look around some more." So she agreed, and she waited, and she waited. And so finally she's able to get to the counter to purchase the items that she wanted to buy, but he still had not returned. So she called him on his cell phone and said, "Honey, where are you?" And he said, "Honey, do you remember that jewelry store that we went in about 10 years ago and you saw that diamond necklace that you loved? And I had to say, no, I just can't afford that now." She got all choked up and she said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I'm in the pub right by that store." So there are many emotions floating out there as people look for Christmas in all the wrong places. But I must say, I do love the Christmas season. I have since I was a boy. One reason is because I love the look. Earlier this week, we took a drive around town looking at all the Christmas light displays. And let me tell you, there are some nice displays up in our city. Some of the homes are just covered in brilliant light. That's one of the things I love about Christmas, that Christmas has a look. We see it everywhere. We see it in our clothes. No other time of year could I walk into a building and know what time of year it is just by looking at clothes. But I can at Christmas. Or think about the way we decorate our homes. For no other holiday, no other time do we bring up boxes and boxes from the basement and just give our house a makeover like we do at Christmas. It even affects the candles or the candies, excuse me, that we make and the cookies that we bake. And just think about how we decorate all the gifts that we bought. Hallmark says this year, Americans will spend about $3.2 billion just wrapping their gifts. So try to wrap your mind around the fact that we spend over $3 billion wrapping things that we've already bought. And maybe sometimes we take the look a little too seriously. So back in the year 2001, there is the Richards family in Australia that got their name in the Guinness Book of World Records because they put up more Christmas lights outside their home than any family in the world, over 300,000. Well, you know, in America, we don't come in second place to anybody. So the Tim Gay family in LaGrangeville, New York, put up 350,000 lights the next year in their home. Well, those sneaky little Australians tried to get the record back, and so in 2014, using 29 miles of wire, the Richards family put up 500,000 lights in their yard. Look something like this. Look up at the screen. But, you know, we can't let them win. So last year in 2015, the Tim Gay family in LaGrangeville, New York, went to work in October to put up over 600,000 lights in their yard. Here's what some of theirs look like. Now, I have to admit, if I lived up there, I would go and see that. But there's part of me that thinks that Christmas is not supposed to be a competition. We spend so much time wrapping and decorating and giving everything the right look, but sometimes we still don't see what Christmas is all about. You can look for Christmas in all the wrong places. So I want to take us to the right place. It was a field outside of Bethlehem. Some shepherds were watching their sheep when the last thing that they expected happened, an angel appeared to them with an amazing message. In Luke 2, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The very first message at the very first Christmas was about a look. Not behave, but behold. Christmas is about the look. So what should we see at Christmas? Well, for one thing, we should watch what God is up to. I suspect most people's view of God is the other way around. It reminds me of the young man who had a first date with a young girl. It seemed to go well, and he took her home, and he walked her up to the front porch, and he thought, you know, I'm going to try and get a kiss. So he leans forward, and he puts his hand on the wall, and he asked if he could kiss her goodnight. But she said, no, my parents may be watching. And he said, oh, no, it's too late. She said, no, they might catch us. And he said, they're in bed now. She said, no, it's just too risky. And this went on for a couple of minutes. Can I? No, can I? No. Suddenly the front door opens up, and there was her little sister, and she's in her pajamas, and her hair is disheveled. And she said, Dad says, go ahead and kiss him, or he's going to come down and kiss him, but please tell him to take his hand off the intercom button. I think a lot of people view God that way. God is kind of like Santa. He's always spying on us, making a list, seeing what we do that's nice, but most of all, catching us when we do something naughty. Listen to me. The real story of Christmas is not a declaration that God is watching us. It is an invitation to watch God. And this is so different from other faiths where you bring your gift to God. You keep the rule. You say the prayer. You do the right ritual, and God puts you on the nice list. But in Christianity, it is God who brings the gift to us. The angel said to Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. No other pregnancy in history was like this. Every other pregnancy, the woman had to do something. But this time, she just had to watch what God was going to do. You see, Christmas rebukes all notions of self-salvation. If you'll just straighten up, if you'll just fix things up, if you'll just start doing this, stop doing that. You could not afford the gift you really need, but the one who could revealed his heart. Because Christmas says, see how much you matter to God. You see, gifts send a message, don't they? And later tonight or tomorrow morning, you'll get together with people that you really love, and you're going to share gifts, and most of you are going to care a whole lot more about what you give than what you get. You want your gift to send a message. I love the story of the older woman, a grandmother, who was getting too old to travel or even to get out and shop. So she just wasn't going to be able to make Christmas with the extended family this year. So she thought, you know, I'm going to send them some money, and they can go and buy whatever they like. So she got the money for every person, put them in little piles, and she got everybody's name and address on all the cards and put the stamps on, and she got them all in the mail just in time for Christmas Day. And she woke up Christmas morning and realized she forgot to put the money in the cards. So Christmas morning, all of her grandkids, they're opening up their cards from her that had the message, buy your own gift this year. Love, Grandma. Gifts send a message. And Christmas is God shedding light on how much we matter to him. He could not stand the thought of living without us, so he came to live with us. And from the worn wood of a manger to the splintered wood of a cross, Jesus had one message. God loves you. God loves you more than anything else he has made. God loves you more than you love God. God loves you more than Donald Trump loves Donald Trump. And Christmas says God wants you in his home forever. That's why John could say, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. I think my favorite Christmas hymn is O Holy Night. Every single verse is rich in theology. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. That's what Christmas says. See how much you matter to God. It doesn't matter where you're from or what accent you have or what color your skin is or what your gender is. It doesn't matter what you've done. You matter to God. That's why we don't look down on anybody, but everybody looks up to Jesus. Now, I know in our politically correct world that everybody is okay and nobody can make a judgment about anything. But the reality is, if I'm okay and you're okay, there wouldn't be any need to even have Christmas. Christmas exists because heaven made a judgment that this world is not okay, that we are not okay. And the truth is, we already know it. An honest look in the mirror, and I know this about me, and you know this about you. You're not as good as you could be. We're all broken. Every one of us has a lot of entries on the naughty list. But the good news that first Christmas night was not behave. It was behold. Go see somebody. And the shepherds went and they saw him. God's perfect man and man's perfect God who came to earth so we could go to heaven. He came in flesh and became one of us and lived a perfect life and died a sinner's death. I want you to listen to the next 15 seconds. Jesus did not come to make a list and check it twice. He came to nail that list to the cross and never look at it again. John the Baptizer could say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let me urge you to not miss the look of Christmas. Now, I know that some of you are listening to me right now, and this is not your scene. You don't hardly ever come into a church building, but I'm urging you to take a closer look at Jesus. This is a man that we literally divide history by. We decide when things happen by asking, was it before or after he was born? Billions of people have and still follow Jesus. He's worth a closer look. So read some chapters out of the Gospels. Just try speaking to him in prayer. Visit a church. Now, some of you, this is your scene. And frankly, the story is really quite routine for you. And I'm asking you to take another look as well. Don't lose the astonishment. Ponder the wonder that God came to us, became like us, came for us, and moved into our neighborhood so that one day we could move into his. A lot of people did not see it the first Christmas. They saw the baby, but they did not see what God was doing. That won't happen the next time that he comes. That last book of the Bible, it's called Revelation. It begins with these words. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see. We believe the one who came is coming again. And that's why, as Christians, we never stop looking. Now, I understand why we would agree that the world right now does not look good. Every day there's another mass shooting or an act of terror. Bigotry, racism still exist. Needless poverty haunts us. Things don't look so good. But I've seen too much in Jesus to give in to despair or cynicism or fear. That's why one of the favorite things I do every year is I take a candle and I light it. In a moment, we're going to all together do the exact same thing. All over the world, people like to light candles when something evil has happened. You ever wondered why? Last year, after the tragedy in Paris, one of the most irreligious nations on earth, people prayed, they sang Amazing Grace, they lit candles. What is special about lighting a candle when something terrible has happened? I believe it goes all the way back 2,000 years to a teaching that a small group of people took to the whole world, that on a lonely night in a small town just outside of Jerusalem, light came into this world, and the darkness has never overcome it. So when we light these candles, we are making a declaration that we will not be timid or cynical or despairing as a people. We will keep on living and loving and looking. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you that you would leave heaven, come to earth so that all of us on earth could live in heaven, that we mattered that much. So no matter how things look right now, help us look to Jesus, the light of the world.